and welcome to another edition of Arena Football Radio AF Nation Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Chris Hopkins, joined today by BJ Picard. Today, we are going to be recapping the Arena Bowl, Arena Bowl 27. If you didn't catch the game, it was a one-sided affair, but still, you know, great pageantry before the game with Cleveland and Arizona. You know, home game for Cleveland, first championship game they've had, the city's seen in a while. So we'll kind of go over some of the things that happened during that game and also, you know, kind of recap the season. It was definitely an eventful 27th season for the Arena Football League. You know, I'll bring BJ back in here and just, you know, go over some of the Arena Bowl. So, you know, 72-32 Arizona. I thought that they were a lot more evenly matched than what the score says. So why did Arizona dominate so much?
Well, Arizona's a really good team.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, Arizona is as talented as you will find in arena football. I think their experience helped them. From the minute they arrived, it was clear that Arizona was there on a business trip. Cleveland having the home field advantage, coming into the game, you thought that was going to be a big factor.
But almost like it wasn't, because we were just like firing on too many cylinders.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like they were really excited to be there.
Yeah.
But that wasn't good enough.
They
needed to be there to win. And I think, you know, everything for Cleveland was new.
Yeah.
It was new to be there for the awards ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was new to be a part of Media Day.
Yeah.
It was new to have a city so excited about, you know, having that championship game.
Seeing gladiator jerseys around the town and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we talked about it on our last podcast. I mean, there were 120,000 people in downtown Cleveland for the Indians, the Browns, and the Gladiators that night. And I think the spectacle may have been a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they treated it maybe as an event as opposed to, you know, the business trip that Arizona did, and maybe that home field advantage played against them. But, I mean, credit their fans. They showed up.
Oh,
they were loud. That atmosphere before kickoff was one of the coolest atmospheres I've ever been privileged to be a part of.
And to the credit, they stuck around for the majority of the game.
Yeah. I mean, that game was over in the second quarter.
Yeah.
I thought Cleveland was really in trouble after their first offensive drive. You know, they had an opportunity to come down and tie it with a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Colin Taylor couldn't make the catch. I think it was the next play.
Exactly,
was the pick six to Kerry Reed. And
it was fourth down, Austin was under pressure, and he kind of just lobbed one there.
Yeah, and after that, you're fighting through quicksand. And they could never recover.
Kind of touch upon your business-like approach that Arizona had. I thought an interesting moment was during Media Day when they had the James Foster Trophy on display, and all the Cleveland players went up to it and took their picture with it. And I heard,
you know, Philadelphia did the same thing.
I overheard a couple of Arizona players saying, man, they haven't even won it yet, and they're taking pictures with it. And I don't know if anybody follows hockey. Those players are so superstitious about those trophies. Like, when they win their conference championship and they go into the Stanley Cup, guys don't even touch the trophy. They don't even look at the Stanley Cup because they're just so superstitious.
And yeah.
Not to say that, you know, superstitions had anything that played a part in that game, but
no, I think the approach does, though.
Yeah, your mindset going in, and you're taking pictures with it, and selfies, and whatever the case was.
Yeah, I mean, and it is cool. It's obviously,
it's hard not to get caught up in the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think Arizona's approach of been there, done that, and maybe going all the way back to 2011 when Arizona was in the exact same situation as Cleveland was this
year. A young team,
very talented, hosting the Arena Bowl in their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Austin. Arizona obviously showed up for that game. I mean, 73-70 is one of
play.
The greatest football games I've ever seen. But I think that experience has driven them to become the dynasty that they have.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to the gameplay, and you know, we mentioned the Kerry Reed pick six on Cleveland's first drive.
What game did he have? That was amazing.
Did he ever leave the field?
I don't think he did. He had, what, two receiving touchdowns, two interceptions? That was Iron Man football.
Side note, what's Coach Guy's 40? He was keeping up with Kerry Reed for stride on that pick six.
Yeah. He's still showing off those receiver DB skills that he had in the mid-90s.
Yeah, exactly. He could still play. So obviously Kerry Reed, you know, he had a great game. Jeremy Kellum as well. Cliff Dukes was named Defensive Player of the Game.
Mm-hmm.
What was wrong with the Cleveland offense and Shane Austin? Because, you know, from the get-go, they just didn't seem to get a rhythm. You know, guys are dropping passes, Colin Taylor, Tyron Lewis. I thought Dominic Goodman was completely quiet the whole game.
Shane Austin's receivers didn't help him out. They dropped some really big passes and some really big moments. But I think the biggest thing that you saw with Shane was he was getting pressured.
Yeah.
I mean, they came after him. And Cliff Dukes, the reason why Cliff Dukes was the Rydell Defensive Player of the Game was he just abused Kid O'Brien all game long. Cliff Dukes was all over Shane Austin, even if he didn't hit him. And he did get that safety, which was big.
Yeah.
But even when he didn't hit him, he was still pressuring him. And quarterbacks, doesn't matter the level, doesn't matter the experience. If you can get to the quarterback, that quarterback is going to get happy feet and get scared. It, and that's what happened with Shane. And his rhythm was completely thrown
off. Austin just never looked comfortable back there. Newly minted league MVP, Nick Davila, is third straight Arena Bowl, second league MVP. So, you know, historically speaking, where does Davila rank right now amongst the greats in this league?
I think he's got to be in the conversation for the greatest of all time, doesn't he?
Go.
How do you measure quarterbacks?
Championships.
He's got three in a row.
I mean, he hits it on all levels. Championships, statistics, gritty performances.
And he's still in his prime.
That's scary.
It's scary, but it's great for the league.
Yeah. Scary for all the other franchises.
It's scary for the other franchises, but yeah, Nick is playing the best football of his career. It's criminal that he hasn't gotten an NFL look, because he is certainly good enough, especially with the way that the NFL game has evolved, because it's all about
quick
precision,
passes.
Quick passes. Then that's what Nick excels at. He may not have the biggest arm out there.
You don't need to throw a 60-yard bomb, but as long
as... that's not the way the game's played anymore. So if he sticks around the AFL and doesn't get the NFL shot that he very much deserves, I think by the end of his career there's not going to be any question about who's the greatest quarterback in AFL history.
He makes all the throws. He wins when he... You know, he's got... they always talk about intangibles of quarterbacks, and you can't tell me that he doesn't have almost every intangible, whatever they may be.
No, absolutely.
That a successful quarterback should have. And like you said, whether it's... regardless of what level it's at, as long as you can win, you can... You know, you're confident in the pocket, you're confident in your throws, it doesn't matter. You know, you should be able to get a chance in the NFL. And I'm not sure if it's been official, but there was some word around Arizona that could have been defensive back Marquise Floyd's last game. He just earned his first defensive back of the year at the award ceremony, and this is his seventh year and his sixth Arena Bowl.
Yes, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't care where you're playing, I don't care what you're doing. If you go to six championships in 7 years, you're doing something right. So where does Floyd rank, you know, with Hall of Fame for Marquise Floyd down the line?
I think, you know, it may take him a few tries to get in, kind of like it did Omar Smith. But, you know, he's got a share of the franchise record for interceptions with Randy Gatewood, who is also in the Hall of Fame. We'll see. I think he eventually gets in. I think there are a number of these Arizona Rattlers players that are going to get in someday.
You know, and I'm moving forward from the Arena Bowl. You know, we're in the offseason right now, and as I kind of mentioned in my introduction, it's kind of been a wild season, a lot of different narratives, a lot of different storylines, a lot of surprises. Portland and L.A., obviously Portland has all those young guys, Vaughn Masoni, Bryce Pila.
Those are two pretty good building blocks.
Yeah, maybe Eric Rodgers comes back, we're not sure, but you know, they've got a lot of good building blocks in L.A. Obviously, this year was a tumultuous season, to say the least, but you know, they've got some great parts there with Bo Bell, Donovan Morgan. They can get their quarterback situation, offensive line. And
how about Kenny Guyton?
Kenny Guyton, yes.
Maybe Kenny Guyton sticks around and develops into a pretty good quarterback. He showed flashes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're just looking at the stat sheet, not terribly impressive, but when Kenny Guyton came into the game, there was a little more excitement. People know who he is.
Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley had, you know, they, if you're watching the show, they continue talking about how they want success. And obviously, rightfully so, they're the owners of their team. They want their team to be successful. And, you know, they fell short this year. Do you see them next year kind of taking a step in the right direction, or do you see them staying where they are right now?
To me, it all hinges on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get some legitimate quality offensive linemen in there, and to their credit, they tried. They picked Billy Eisenhart with their first pick in the expansion draft last year, and he retired.
Yeah,
you know, got a bad break there.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy Eisenhart was an all-arena center.
Yeah.
So that would have made a huge difference. You know, you never know what you're going to get with rookies. Obviously, in Arizona, Sherman Carter was a great addition at center.
Yeah.
And ended up playing a much bigger role than they anticipated when Jeff Maddox went down.
Mm-hmm.
But L.A. attracted some bigger name street free agents.
Yeah.
That didn't pan out, and one of the reasons is that arena football does take some time to get accustomed to.
You can't just jump in.
For the most part, you can't jump in. You know, there is a learning curve, and, you know, a lot of them didn't start that learning curve until March, when they actually get inside an arena for the first time. So, you know, maybe there are guys on the roster right now that can develop.
An expansion team, like you said, you don't know your roster until March, and that's, you know, or in February when training camp's starting to come together, and, you know, maybe they bit off a little bit more than they can chew. And, you know, it's overwhelming to get a new coaching staff, new city, new players. You're trying to create some sort of a fan base because L.A. hasn't had professional football since the 90s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're trying to – there's all these different parts, and you want to have a good product on the field, but, you know, you got to have people in the stands to have a good product. You know, it's a lot of give and take there, so –
yeah, there's a lot that goes into putting a football team together.
Yeah, and, you know.
And there's a reason why expansion teams generally don't win in their first year. I mean, look how long it took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win.
Yeah.
I mean, they were terrible for 30
years.
Or the
Houston Texans, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It takes a while. And obviously, when Gene and Paul in their life, you know, success is a big part of it. You know, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and, you know, they've accrued a lot of success throughout their time as musicians. And you can be the most successful businessman, but in sports, there's just too many variables, and it's not just going to happen all in 1 year. Unless you're very lucky, unless you're like the Florida Marlins and you win in almost your first year, expansion teams...
And then blow up the roster.
Yeah, and then blow up the roster. Expansion teams just don't come together that fast. I mean, that was what I thought was great watching Portland, because we were watching them come together down the stretch, and they were playing, you know, they were playing great football. And
yeah, I'll be interested to see how they approach this offseason, because you'd think they want to keep a lot of those rookies together,
mm-hmm.
develop that core,
yep.
Kind of build the way that Arizona built,
mm-hmm.
you know, with their core. But it's going to be interesting to see how they approach free agency and then what steps they take next season to compete with the likes of San Jose and Spokane and Arizona.
What do you think they need?
Imagine are going to regress.
No,
much.
I don't imagine they're going to regress, especially when Spokane's bringing back Eric Meyer and Arizona's bringing back majority of their three-time Arena Bowl champion team. But what does Portland need to get to that next echelon, you know, to be a consistent competitor with the Portlands and San Jose? I'm sorry, the San Jose's and Spokane's.
Well, I mean, offensive line is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
They did have some talent there, but I think that's something that you always want to be vigilant about. Consistency at quarterback. Kyle Rowley had an exceptional year. All things considered, I mean,
mm-hmm.
he really bounced back well this year.
His career arc's like a wild roller coaster, though.
It does, and that's kind of the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if he is truly the answer there. He has always thrived in Matt Sauk's system. That's something to keep an eye on. Maybe Darren Thomas develops in the offseason. You know, with 1 year under his belt, maybe he's ready to take the next step. Receiver-wise, you know, Eric Rogers, great season while he was there. Douglas McNeil, spectacular.
Yeah.
He's a human highlight reel, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got two good young pieces there. Dante Page-Moss, when he keeps his emotions in check, is a very good player.
When he's not forcing the refs to throw laundry on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's another thing that would help Portland down the road, is not
discipline.
Be the most penalized team in professional sports history.
That is a huge element. I think that's really big. Some of that is inexperience. It's young players. It's learning the game. Some of it's just discipline. But Dante Page-Moss is an NFL talent. Jake McDonough was, with the Washington Redskins in August.
Yep.
So, you know, he's a quality player. Obviously, we talked about Pila and Sony, both all-arena players as rookies.
They got Crocker in the secondary
yep,
as well.
Yep, their secondary is actually
that was their
the most
first
experienced.
Pick in the expansion draft.
Yep, and Eric Crocker was a very good pick.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great addition. So there's a lot to be proud of in Portland.
Yeah.
They overachieved, despite what the record says. They made the playoffs as an expansion team. I mean, a team that started from nothing in December and made the playoffs.
And, another kind of retrospective question, you know, looking back, what moment will stand out to you this season? Like, you know, this season was full of moments. You know, some that stood out to me was, you know, the LA Kiss first home game. I thought that was, seeing the behind the scenes of it there in Fourth and Loud is interesting. But, you know, I thought that was, you know, it was a great spectacle for the league. And, you know, the pyrotechnics and all of the stuff that was going on, watching it on TV, was really cool. And then I thought Davila playing the day or that game during the week that his dad had passed away, I thought that was, you know, just goes along with his just how great of a quarterback he is. Just a gritty performance against against San Jose, you know,
yeah.
Rivalry game, definitely needed that win. So just an amazing moment there. And then I thought the spark that ignited the Cleveland Flyer was the Hail Mary against Spokane in Death Valley. And I mean, at that point, you know, Cleveland, I think they were like 3-0 or 4-0 or something.
And, yeah, and everybody was kind of like, they're going into Spokane.
Yeah, they've had some...
Show's over.
Yeah, exactly. Here comes Spokane at Spokane, and they're just going to put this one to rest, and they'll go back to being Cleveland. But now when Chris Dueker hailed that 48-yarder...
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought those were just some of the...
You could have picked out...
I could have picked any of the...
Four.
Yeah, I just thought that was the one that kind of sparked those... Yeah. Ignited everything.
Yeah, 100%.
Gave them the confidence that they could go up against a team like Spokane, at Spokane, and just as long as there's some seconds remaining on the clock, they could pull away with a victory.
Yeah, I mean, all of those are really great moments. Mm-hmm. For me, personally, I think the coolest moment was when we were sitting there at Arena Bowl before kickoff and they were doing introductions and everything.
Yeah.
And seeing a packed house, 18,000 people, excited for arena football. We're back on ESPN.
Yeah.
Now, what a great showcase
yes.
for arena football, which is a sport that absolutely deserves it.
You know, obviously, everybody likes to make predictions. They like to look back and see that they were right when they made their prediction a year before. Do you have any, predictions? Do you see these division champions that were division champions repeating? You know, is anybody ever going to knock off Arizona? They go for the unprecedented four-peats?
Well, Arizona's going to be neat to see. Because in his post-game press conference, Kevin Guy talked about, you know, there have been guys that have been here since the beginning in Arizona, the beginning of the Kevin Guy era. And he talked about complacency is a big deal, especially...
To kill the Roman Empire.
Yeah, a team that has won so much.
Mm-hmm. DeVille always says you got to fall in love with winning, and, you know, he's obviously fallen in love with winning, but some people can say they're in love with... You know, they're not truly falling...
At some point, you just start going through the motions.
I was just
going
to say going through the motions.
Yeah, and... I think you're going to see a very, very competitive training camp. And Kevin Guy always has really competitive training camps.
Imagine.
The guys that they bring in, I mean, 2 years ago they had the last three rookies of the year all competing at the wide receiver position. So it's going to be very competitive, and I think we're going to see some shakeup. You know, I think we're going to see a different team next year. And maybe that does impact... You know, the Rattlers and their quest for a four-peat.
Yeah, first ever in arena football history.
I don't think they're going to regress too much. I don't see that happening as long as number 10 is still throwing touchdown passes.
No.
But I think we are going to see a different team next year.
How about Cleveland? Do you see them, you know, continuing to move forward? Or was this kind of that they reached their peak and now it's a downhill slide from here?
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's interesting because... On paper, you always looked at Cleveland and said, well...
Yeah, that's what we look... Yeah,
they'll be in the game.
They're all right.
Yeah. So, I mean, next year they're going to be one more year of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do have some really nice pieces.
I don't think they're going to win, what was it, 9 games under 7 points or, you know, all those...
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
No.
You wouldn't think so. They also play in a really tough division with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh there.
Yep.
I would think Pittsburgh's still going to be tough. You would think Philadelphia, they still have their talent there. They've been to the dance. They will probably be tougher. I mean, 3 plays. That's what separated Philadelphia and Cleveland this year.
Yeah.
The ball bounces a different way one time in each game.
Yeah, Cleveland's the wild card. And
Cleveland's 0-3 against Philly.
Yeah.
They will still be a competitive team next year. I don't know what level of success they're going to have in the long run, but we'll find out. I was very pleasantly surprised with the Orlando Predators this last year.
Yeah.
A lot of young players on their team. Yeah. A lot of young players. A lot of people picked them to not finish very highly. They ended up winning the division.
What do you see going on with that division? It, you know, kind of came down the stretch between them and Tampa Bay. Jacksonville fell off. But, you know, going into the season, I would have said that Jacksonville was the favorite to win that division again. So.
Yeah, I'm still perplexed by Jacksonville.
Okay.
Statistically, they weren't bad.
No.
It just didn't make any sense why they weren't winning. They literally just didn't finish games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Jacksonville is going to be back and better. Tampa, I don't know. It was the same issue that they had last year. You know, they had to win one game down the stretch, and they couldn't do it.
God, yeah. All they had to do was win one. I mean, obviously, their stretch.
This year they had a tough schedule.
Tough stretch with it. Cleveland twice in those last four games.
Yeah, San Jose.
It wasn't good. It was a tough stretch, but I mean, if you want to compete in this league, you gotta.
You're talking about going into the playoffs. Yeah. Those are all playoff teams.
If you gotta beat somebody.
If
you're gonna win in the playoffs, you gotta beat a playoff bound team.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Tampa Bay's got to do some soul searching, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what's going on. Joe Hills is a very talented player down there. I mean, T.T. Tolliver, Amari Jackson, that receiving corps is very good.
Michael Lindsay.
And then you got Michael Lindsay, who can be a role player.
Yeah.
I don't know if Randy Hippert's the answer. They were certainly a different team when they had Adrian McPherson under center.
He's just a dynamic playmaker.
Yes. Defensively, they lost a lot when they lost Chris Smith to the CFL. He's a very good defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need a better pass rush. They can probably use some more experience in the secondary.
Parting shots, from this 2014 AFL season.
No, I mean, I thought it was a good season. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Definitely, you know, it was such an eventful season. Each week there was something going on, whether it was Cleveland, you know, Arizona chasing all these different records.
Yeah.
You know, those two teams, you know, Cleveland and Arizona starting off undefeated through. Arizona was like through 14 games, and Cleveland was through 12 games.
Yeah, and I mean, that to me is really the best part, because in our line of work, it's all about storylines,
mm-hmm.
you know? And all season, it appeared that these two teams were on a collision course.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, you want to see the two best teams.
I was a little worried that they weren't going to both make it to the Arena Bowl.
Yeah.
Arizona was kind of faltering, and I thought the, Cleveland's path to the Arena Bowl in the playoffs was going to be difficult with Philly mm-hmm. and Orlando.
But in the end, you got the four division champions playing in the conference championship round.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the two best teams playing in the title game. Now, we didn't end up getting the best game.
We got spoiled throughout the season with great games.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona is a very good team. They're not 40 points better than Cleveland. Bad things just kept happening.
Yeah.
You know, you wish you would have gotten a better game out of it, but you know, the NFL wishes that about the Super Bowl this past year, too.
Yeah,
it happens in championship games all the time.
Nobody expected that with Denver and Seattle. And, you know, those are two evenly matched teams. Similarly matched with how Cleveland and Arizona were matched. And, you know, you can only...
Yeah, I mean, the same sort of thing happened. You know, going back to the Super Bowl, you got the bad snap.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Pick six right off the bat with Shane Austin.
Exactly. You know, and then you're fighting in quicksand.
And everything just starts compounding on each other.
Snowballs and the show's over.
Especially when, you know, you go up against a well-oiled machine like Arizona, you give them an inch, they're taking that mile.
Mm-hmm. You know, blowouts happen in championship games all the time. It's certainly nothing new.
No.
That's John Elway. Exactly. So, you know, tough for Cleveland, but overall, it was a great season.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah, like I keep saying, you know, we had so many narratives from a communication standpoint to continue writing about and talking about, so.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to have more now that we have the Las Vegas Outlaws joining the league.
Any other 80s rock stars out there that want to buy an arena football team, you know, this is the... Get it while the iron's hot. Brett Michaels, okay.
Oh, yeah. Have Poison come to the show.
Maybe Eddie Van Halen. Yeah.
See, David Lee Roth, what are you doing?
Diamond David. Yeah, but I thought it was, you know, an amazing season from start to finish. So many great teams. I thought it was great that we had new blood, you know. Pittsburgh, first time in the playoffs. Cleveland wasn't the first time in the playoffs, but it was their, you know, best season ever in their franchise history, clearly.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously Portland. So it's nice to see some new blood in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see if Bob McMillan and the LA Kiss can right the ship.
Yeah.
Please, ownership.
Yeah. He's hoping that the product on the field matches the product off the field. But, yeah, just thank you to all of our listeners throughout the season. It's I've enjoyed hosting these podcasts, and I hope to continue doing them throughout the offseason and going into next season. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. It's under Arena Football Radio. And yeah, thank you all our fans during the season for coming out to all their games. None of this happens without the fans, and we do it for the fans, so can't thank you enough. Thank you, PJ Picard, for joining me today. I'm Chris Hopkins, and signing off. Thank you again.